Clinton Dolls by the Spanking Theater, Part 2. As the years passed, my juvenile fantasy became much more elaborate. I began to incorporate imagery from the books I'd voraciously consumed. The tower in the clouds became a location in its own right. I like to imagine I'd been sent away for the summer to stay in the sprawling castle of some mysterious gentleman. He was very kind and understanding, but had laid down just a single rule. Not to visit the library at the top of the soaring Gothic tower. My headstrong imaginary self had naturally enough found this one restriction frustratingly irresistible. Perhaps my mischief would earn me a trip over the gentleman's knee. That was what happened to naughty girls, wasn't it? A spanking. Just imagine. That would be both mortifyingly appalling and thrillingly exciting. So I imagined breaking his silly rule. Climbing the exhausting, steep, creaky stairs to the top of the tower, and then wandering among the vertiginous shelves of his illicit library. Eventually, I'd stumble across a low plinth, with heavy, archaic-looking book resting upon it. There was a little velvet cushion just in front of it, allowing me to kneel reverently before it. I'd heave open its heavy, studded leather cover, and gasp as it fell open at a page filled by jagged, archaic words. I checked guiltily over my shoulder, half expecting to see my angry host scowling at me, a riding whip already in his hand. But I was still alone, so as the dust motes glowed and tumbled in the sunbeams, I began reading. Somehow I knew how to pronounce these strange contorted characters. I had to feel my tongue warm as I spat the coarse, profane syllables from my snarling lips. How could I have known that I was reading from a spellbook? The abyssal black scrawl on the ancient vellum page contained an enchantment that would transform me. That this was a trap, that the book would always fall open at the same page in an intruder's hands. How could I have known the high price of my curiosity? Then it happened. I began to feel my muscles freeze. Alarmed, I tried to rise and run, but some strange force had petrified me, as if I had been ossified by Medusa's terrible stare. I looked down at my hands, my flesh still pink and supple, fortunately not yet turned to stone. But I could no longer move, my mind now trapped, alert and racing, inside my abruptly frozen body. Eventually, the gentleman wizard came looking for me. He found me, perfectly still and silent, kneeling beside his precious, priceless spellbook. How awful it was to be caught so flagrantly, yet be unable to speak, to explain myself and profusely apologize. I felt his hand upon the top of my head. He pushed gently downwards until my face hovered just above the elegant tapestries that covered the floor. Now my bottom was my highest point, protruding proudly in the air. He reached behind me, lifting my dress and parting my bloomers, baring my buttocks and all my secrets in between. "Oh, sir," I wanted to shriek, but I was literally under his spell, completely at the mercy of my new master's hand. Like a conjurer, he produced a thin, foot-long stick from within his robes, from where previously surely no such item had existed. This he informed me, was his wand, and was more than just a facilitator of sorcery. It was also perfect for smacking the bottoms of wayward young ladies who act like delinquent little girls. He stood behind me, and I felt the warm wood of his wand rest against my upturned cheeks. Then he spanked me, a succession of firm, hard whacks. I wasn't able to protest or squirm, but I'd still feel the hot, stinging impact of each smack upon my poor, bare bum. I must admit, it wasn't long before I also felt a little rivulet of wetness dribbling down my thigh. This was the fantasy that defined my nascent sexuality, to be closeted in a faraway castle of marble halls, the guest of a wizard, the willing subject of his erotic, bewitching powers. He knew the immobility spell charmed me most, and I'd beg him to use it on me. My gentleman wizard would graciously indulge my wish, happily transforming me into a living doll. Then he'd undress me. My cheeks would burn with shame as he tugged the lace around my waist, the one that made my bloomers tumble down around my feet. Before rising my idle arms, and pulling my camisole off over my head, I'd imagine standing before him naked, instinctively wanting to move my hands to cover my crotch. I always kept myself bare and smooth, just how a doll might be. I liked to lay in my bed and open my legs, imagining him inspecting me. When I was a doll, I'd never move and never, ever touch myself. I'd just close my eyes and picture his roving eyes appreciating me. I also liked to stand motionless in the middle of my bedroom, in the pose I imagined he might select for me. I might be naked, or my master might decide to dress me up. I might be put in my best bikini, or wrap a sheet around me like a toga, or be meticulously presented in my old school uniform. I'd glance at myself in my full-length mirror and swell with pride, so gorgeous and alluring. Of course, sometimes my master might decide I'd have to be punished, as my misdemeanors were never truly hidden from his enchanted spying eyes. I'd dress in the costume he laid out for me, then bare my bottom and spank myself with my slipper or the wooden spatula I'd borrowed from the kitchen. Then I'd stand with my pink cheeks on display, immobile and obedient in his chosen position, unable to rub away the ache that simmered between my legs. Only later that night, as I lay on my back, naked underneath my cool satin sheets, would I finally allow myself to rest a solitary fingertip against my clitoris. I'd lie there, as motionless as I could possibly manage, feeling the weight of my finger pressing against my most sensitive spot, the tug of gravity alone stimulating me, the attractive force of every atom on the planet. A primal part of me would want to rub, but my logical self was stronger willed. I continually remind myself that good dolls never get to move. I often fell asleep that way, my hand resting upon my mound, into deliriously exciting dreams.